Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we're so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so please send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And you can also listen to our show on a podcast. You just go to EWTN's Podcast Central or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And today we're going to be focusing on two historical and powerful moments for the Catholic Church that both anniversaries are this week. And so August 11th marks the 104th anniversary of Father James E. Coyle's assassination that happened at a Catholic church, St. Paul's, here in Birmingham, Alabama. And you can watch that show. You watched that show this morning. Yes. The mask was covered. But if you've missed it, you can also watch it tonight on EWTN. You could watch that. I believe it's at 11 o'clock tonight. And you can always go out to Father Coyle's website, Father James E. Coyle's website, or just go to ondemand@ewtn.com. And then also this week, August 15th, marks the 44th anniversary of the launch of EWTN's first broadcast. So two powerful events that both occurred in Alabama and had great impacts for Catholicism in America and in our personal lives. Now, Father James E. Coyle was assassinated, 104th anniversary, by the Ku Klux Klan here in Birmingham, Alabama. It's an unbelievable story, and it's very close to both of our hearts. And you can catch the, I know that you saw the mass this morning if you're a loyal viewer at EWTN, a beautiful mass, and Bishop Raker presided at that. So, so beautiful. But you know, you can always catch it tonight. It's 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, and you could watch the documentary. Also, Father James E. Coyle, Life and Legacy, anytime on demand at EWTN.com. There's a lot going on in just one little week.
Yeah.
Two great events.
That's going to be our show for today. Mm-hmm. You can always reach us at jimandjoy@ewtn.com, jimandjoy@ewtn.com. So we're going to take a break in just a moment or two. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation and reflect upon the providence of God in establishing EWTN here, the first launch 44 years ago. I'm going to share a little bit more. Many of you might know of Father James E. Coyle, wonderful priest here in Birmingham, 1904 to 1921, who his bishop at that time said he was a martyr to duty. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today we're speaking about the life and the impact of Father Coyle's life and the 44th anniversary of EWTN's first broadcast. So a lot going on. Why is Father Coyle's story so important to you? You could go out to the website, fathercoyle.org. Mm. Well, I know how important Father Coyle's life is to you, and I know that's something you want to share about. So why don't you tell our family the impact that he's had just on Jim Pinto's life?
I'm going to get to that for sure. I just want to get his dates for everybody here. Born March 23rd, 1873. Ordained to the priesthood May 30th, 1896. So he's about 23 years old. And by the way, Father Coyle, this great Irish priest, was ordained at St. John Lateran. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the basilica there for the Holy Father. That's his seat of the Pope. So he was ordained there. He great promise they had for Father Coyle, and he really did fulfill that, even though he died at age 47. He didn't die. He was killed. Mm-hmm. He was assassinated. He was martyred for the faith. He died August 11th, 1921. So you were mentioning, of my own attraction to Father Colin, how I connected with him. So when I first came to Birmingham, you know, years back, with you and then one of our children and two in your womb, I heard about the story about Father Coyle, about his assassination at St. Paul's Church, which is now the Cathedral of St. Paul in Birmingham, Alabama, again in 1921. I didn't hear from any Catholics, although at that time, 1921, he was renowned, Father Coyle, in the Catholic Church and beyond. But I heard it from a fellow by the name of John Dawson, who really had a heart of looking at injustices that have taken place, especially in the United States of America, and saying, were people aware of this? Did they really repent of this? And he would walk the trails of, of Indian persecution and other people. And he said, you know, there was this, an assassination in Birmingham in 1921, this Father Coyle. He says, I don't think we ever really repented of that properly, we being just the people of that time. And also he was meaning the Protestant community, because Father Coyle was assassinated by a Klansman who was a Methodist deacon. And he said, I just don't think we ever really repented the way we need to. And he was right. So that was when we first came. And then as I felt drawn back to the Catholic Church, I was serving as an Episcopal priest, and I felt drawn. So I found Father Coyle's grave at Elmwood Cemetery, and I prayed there. And I said, you know, I introduced myself to Father Coyle.
Well, but first you went to a Catholic bookstore, and they had a little card there, right?
Yeah, the late John Wright had placed some cards about Father Coyle there, had that Celtic cross there where Father Coyle's buried. And yeah, I found the grave site. So we give thanks for that. And so yeah, went there and prayed, introduced myself to Father Coyle, and said, you know, Father, I used to be a Catholic. I come into the Episcopal Church. I'm serving in a church the last 22 years. Should I come back to the church? Prayed at his grave, prayed at all the graves there. It was a site for priests, and three bishops were there, all these sisters. Anyway, I really do believe Father Coyle was interceding for me. And eventually, you know, I came back into the church. And when I did, you know, I visited St. Paul's Church, the Cathedral of St. Paul. I spoke to the pastor there, and I said, you know, I just want you to know that I was a Catholic. Not that you never stop being a Catholic. If you're a Catholic, you're a Catholic. But I wasn't practicing. Became an Episcopal priest, and I said, I want you to know something. I prayed to Father Coyle's grave, and I came back to the church. I want you to know Father Coyle is alive. And that, you know, the priest said, I know he's alive. I'm the pastor here. I sense his presence. He was an Episcopal priest as well, who became a Catholic. Anyway, so that was very moving. And then we created a website, fathercoyle.org, fathercoyle.org, and that people could hit that, learn more about Father Coyle, go to that website. Any literature that's there, we have a book there, Killed in the Line of Duty. It's a short devotional book that I've written. And then Sharon Davies written a book called Rising Road, wonderful, wonderful book. FatherCoyle.org. And so, yeah, and this, we tried to get his story told. When he was assassinated, this priest, and I want to note, he was, the straw that broke the camel's back is a wedding he did between a dark-skinned Puerto Rican Catholic and this Caucasian, totally, you know, white girl who converted to Catholicism. This girl had met with Father Coyle when she was 12 years old. And she was enamored with the Catholic faith, that they looked different when they were going to church. They had, you know, little hats on and whatever. She said, you know, what's this all about? Because she lived in the community, spoke with Father Coyle. Father Coyle wasn't proselytizing her. You know, he was just telling her about Catholicism. And she said in sworn testimony, after her father assassinated Father Coyle, I felt like if I didn't become a Catholic, I might go to hell, you know, because this was the true faith of me. She went back, this is when she was 12, spoke to her father, and the father said, basically, if you ever go back to talk to Father Coyle and sit on his porch, you know, I'm going to kill him. So 6 years later, she's 18, she converts to the Catholic faith, and she wants to marry this dark-skinned Puerto Rican guy. And so people saw Puerto Ricans at that time as black. It was illegal for a black person and Caucasian person to marry. That wasn't even the scenario with this guy, because he was, you know, Puerto Rican. So they do the wedding. She was supposed to get married at another Catholic church. That kind of fell through. She called Father Coyle. Can you do my this wedding? Father Coyle, I think, was at a breakfast with a group of priests, and he said, I just got a phone call from Stevenson's daughter. Edwin Stevenson was the guy who shot Father Coyle. And he says, you know, she wants me to do her wedding to Pedro Guzman. He said, the old man's probably going to kill me today. And so he did the wedding, and his sister Marcella was there as a witness, another priest was there, and he said, why don't you go in the sacristy when I do this wedding? He knew he could something could happen. Mm-hmm. So he does the wedding, and then he tells Ruth Stevenson to go and tell her father that she married a good boy, mm-hmm. Good guy. Mm-hmm. And so she does that, and from what we know of the story, Stevenson had a gun, and he's waiting for the service to end, and he's pacing up and down the street. Mm-hmm. And so Father Cole completes his time of doing this, and I think he stops in the parsonage for a minute. He would always say his breviary, his prayers and read his breviary, out on the porch. Mm-hmm. He's also known as the patron of the porch, because he always wanted to be in front of the people walking up and down the street. He wanted them to see a Catholic priest. He wanted to have dialogue with people from different denominations mm-hmm. and so on. And so he did what he normally did. He went out, said his prayers, and Stevenson walked up point-blank range, and I was reading more on this murder, and it seems like he got down on one knee and just shot point-blank range mm-hmm. at Father Coyle, one bullet hitting him through the temple, out his skull, and it hit the St. Patrick window.
Yes.
Which Father Coyle's Irish. He wrote a lot about St. Patrick. Father Coyle was a writer. He was a poet. He has 18 volumes of writings, which I work through at the cathedral there. And about an hour after that, he was pronounced dead. Mm-hmm. Marcella, his sister, found him. Anyway, so that was the straw that broke the camel's back. There was a trial. So I think it was a 5-day trial. It was one of the trials of the century. Mm-hmm. So the New York Times followed it and others followed it and said, can somebody be convicted for killing a Catholic priest? Mm-hmm. And the answer was no. It was a 5-day trial, killed him in cold blood, went to the county courthouse right next door. There was a window open to the courthouse. He went through the window with a smoking gun in his hand and said, I just killed the priest. Klansman, trial takes place, Klan judge, Klan jury, found not guilty by reason of temporary insanity, given his gun back. Mm-hmm. And he was a marrying parson. All he did was weddings in the courthouse, and he killed Father Coyle for doing this wedding with his daughter and this dark-skinned Puerto Rican. Hugo Black, who is a senator and a Supreme Court justice, defended
Stevenson
and got him off. It was a real travesty of justice. I'm sure Hugo Black, I know a number of good things that Hugo Black has done, including striking down the law that forbade blacks and whites from marrying. So that was mm-hmm. interesting because he was saying Pedro was black, and his courtroom manner was just terrible in that case. And so that took place. But I want to make the point that Father Coyle's bishop, Bishop Allen, called him down before his assassination, obviously, and said to him, called him and said, look, Father Coyle, for 2 years, the FBI has contacted us and said they want to kill you. The Klan wants to kill you. Because there was a great anti-Catholic bigotry from 1915 to 1921 in Birmingham. It mm-hmm. didn't exist before,
right.
And I can go into why that happened. Father Coyle was the face of Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And people at that time, many people hated Catholicism. The Klan was against Catholics. And also is a way to win elections.
Right.
Go anti-Catholic, and they would garner votes. That's what was happening in Birmingham. Father Coyle stayed and ministered 1904 to 1921, 2.5 years, knowing he was a target to be assassinated. Why? Because there was animus against the Catholic Church. And you know what that means? Usually when you're assassinated, not by a crazy person coming in and killing you as a priest, that may not garner martyrdom mm-hmm. status because the guy's just out of his mind and does this. This was 2.5 years of desiring to kill Father Coyle and waiting to get the opportunity. He never fled. He never left. He continued to dialogue with people. He was a man of great courage. He knew what he believed. He lived what he believed. And he laid down his life for his Savior, who laid down his life for us. Mm-hmm. And so that's some of the background of that story.
Well, and it's an unbelievable story when, we came into the state of Alabama and, when we heard about it and learned mm-hmm. about it and... But there was kind of like silence from yeah. Catholic land about it. And we were like, this is a grave injustice. We came here for racial reconciliation. Mm. We moved here in 1980, yeah. and we had the first integrated churches where blacks and whites came together. Because
well, we weren't one of the first, but we were the most
right.
integrated church.
Yeah, and because, believe it or not, in Alabama at that time, the most segregated time was 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, where blacks went to blacks church and whites went to white church. And there was this segregation and this separation. And it's not that way now in 2025. But are we prejudiced? Is there injustice? Is there racism? Yes, in all of our hearts. And so those are the things that need to be purged and cleansed. And Father Coyle was a visible witness of everything that was good and true and beautiful. And as a parish priest, he called and challenged his people. You know, the state of Alabama, it's only 3%.
5% now.
Right?
Catholic,
right? It was 3 at that time. Yeah. And so, you know, mostly it's Protestant. So he was like, and the Irish came to evangelize and build the church.
Let me say, after 90 years with no response from the Methodist Church, there was a bishop that we talked with. And he said, we never said we were sorry for this. We never owned this. Mm. And on Ash Wednesday, 90 years after his assassination, I could read it to you, that he confessed that we had committed this grave sin. So he really represented the Protestant community in saying, you know, we never condoned this. And even after 90 years, we need to make a public statement that would heal this situation and that we would all respect one another and our dignity and our freedom of choice that we make even regarding religion. So we just got 1 minute left. We're going to segue into, when we return, of course, the 44th anniversary of the launch of Mother Angelica, who herself came originally to Alabama to pray for racial reconciliation. Mm-hmm. It was one of the key things. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
At home with Jim and Joy, and we're celebrating two really important anniversaries this week. The 104th anniversary to the assassination of Father James Coyle, a priest who was killed in the line of duty. And then we're celebrating the 44th anniversary to Mother Angelica pulling that powerful switch on sheer obedience and faith to honor her Lord and King. And now EWTN is the largest religious media network in the world. Who would have known that? Only God.
Yeah.
And we sit and we get to do this wonderful show and to echo all the beautiful things that this network has done. Mother's, one of her goals was to catechize, especially the Catholic Church, to bring all the wayward Catholics home. And then for people who really were misinformed about the Catholic Church to be formed in everything that was good and true and beautiful about the Catholic Church. And needless to say, Mother did an outstanding job until her dying breath. She never shrunk back. And there's one of Mother's quotes, one of her great quotes was, she was always afraid that she was going to disappoint the Lord, right? And so she says this, she said, I am not afraid to fail, but I'm scared to death of dying and having the Lord say to me, Angelica, this is what you might have done had you trusted me more. Mm. Now that's, I get that. Because we're only given a short time here on this earth, all of us, and every day is a gift. And are we living it fully alive, being fully obedient to Jesus and saying, but Lord, I'm afraid. Don't you think Mother was afraid? I'm sure she was afraid, but she didn't let her fear cripple her. She moved in faith. Because she believed what God was asking her to do. She had to believe that God was going to provide for all of our needs. And it wasn't going to be with commercials and ads. It was going to be by you and me. And we're supporters of this great network. And it's a privilege to support this network. And so that's how it happened. It's a miracle. And last week we had Anthony DiStefano on our show. And he had a book about miracles. This network is a miracle. And what Mother did and how you and we, the people of God, responded to say, We want this. We need this. We need more of this. The whole culture out there was thinking, we don't need a Catholic network. There's no need for a Catholic network. Yes, there is. There was a need. Mother saw it. She believed God. She heard God. Most important, she obeyed him, and she didn't shrink back to what he was calling her to do. Mm.
And, you know, we've seen, well, I think when that first launch, I have here that it went out to 60,000 homes 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
And now I think we're approaching almost 500 million households throughout the world.
Throughout the world.
That's just not people, it's mm-hmm. households. And I think radio goes beyond that. And, you know, that song, that Pentecostal song, look what the Lord has done. Just look what the Lord has done. And the Lord just did a great work from somebody who just loved the Lord, surrendered her life to the Lord, and God's grace could build upon the matter of her life and do this great work. Also, I want to say one of the best ways to, I think, honor Mother's legacy is to become an EWTN media missionary. Okay, so Joy is a missionary, I'm a missionary. I oversee 16,500 people just like you who are saying, well, I always speak about EWTN. Can I do this more clearly, concisely? Go to EW10missionaries.com, EW10missionaries.com. There's a registration page. There's a 2-minute video. Watch all of that and unite with us. We want to send you free materials for you to share. We want to send you information that you could put up on email, Facebook, Twitter, that you can share, materials you can share in your parish or beyond if you're a college student, if you're in a
nursing home,
senior citizens, facilities, and so on. We want to outfit you to better share about EWTN. We want you to have a lapel pin like this, sharing the eternal word. People say, well, what do you got on there? What's that about? This is about EWTN, the Eternal Word Television Network. Did you ever hear about Mother Angelica? So let me take a minute, and you can go to EWTN.com, right? We have materials for you to share with people. We have a devotional guide that we want to send you. You know, speaks about Mother's spirituality and the media missionary spirituality. It's all there. So let's honor Mother's legacy on this 44th anniversary. We're going to have Matt Scalise with us on Wednesday and Thursday. Who's Matt Scalise? He met Mother when he was 3, and he became the first employee of EWTN. It's going to be great shows. Mm. God bless you and all of your loved ones. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.